Hi everyone, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy to have you with us. And we are broadcasting live right now on Facebook, on YouTube, as well as on Periscope. And if you're watching on any of those venues, just know that you can be part of this conversation just by putting your comments or questions into the feed, and we will make that part of our conversation because this is a conversation for our community. But we pick a theme. Sped Homeschool is a nonprofit, and we help encourage and empower parents to homeschool children with special educational needs. And this month, our theme is adoption and foster care, because a lot of things that come with children who are adopted or are in the foster care system affect their learning, as well as affect your home life and your homeschool. And we know that. And so that's why we're focusing on that topic this month in our broadcasts, as well as our blogs that are coming out this month. But tonight I have a very special guest and a friend. Her name is Jennifer Culmore. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you here. And Jennifer is also known as the Therapy Mama, as you can see by her her name on her screen. But we'll talk a little bit more about the resources she has, and then she'll share a little bit about her background as well. And so we're going to talk about adoption, but mostly we're going to talk about creating a joyful adoptive home, because something that I've seen from Jennifer's life is joy. And that's why I asked her to have a conversation about that tonight. So we just want to welcome her and welcome you to our broadcast, and to kick off our time together, Jennifer, I would love to hear how your girls were adopted and the story behind them becoming part of your family.
Well, thank you so much, Peggy, for having me. I'm excited to share tonight. I don't know. I always grew up with adoption in my mind. There were a couple of people I remember from our church when I was really young, when adoption wasn't common, but there were families that had adopted. And I remember just being very interested in that and drawn to that. And I also went to an elementary school that was one of the first schools in our city to have a special education wing. And back then it was not inclusion. We weren't anywhere near that, but they had a special needs wing. And I kind of had trouble. I was bullied a lot as a kid and felt like I didn't fit in. And so I asked them if I could start giving my lunch recess up to go down and work in the special education wing. And that was just like one of my first glimpses into special needs. And I just fell in love with those kids. And I remember thinking, I'd like to adopt a child with special needs when I grow up. And it just kind of continued that way through my life, that just those thoughts.
You had those seeds planted at a young age and they kept growing.
Yes. It did. And I ended up going to college to become a speech language pathologist. And I had a really, honestly, rough time. My first year, or the first week of graduate school, my mother passed away suddenly. Oh. And 11 months later, my father passed away.
Wow.
And so it was a time where I felt like I was an orphan. That was my feeling. It was just such a hard time. But I remember thinking how much I wanted my family back. And over the years, I just thought more and more about that and thought, you know, there's all these kids out there that they're just little kids and they don't have their family. And God just used that in my heart, I think, to make me desire that. And so when I was about almost 30, I was still single, and I just started praying and felt led to start the adoption journey. I went through foster care classes first.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I had a nightmare of a placement. it was a very, very hard placement, the first one. But I started praying specifically about other countries and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I found out that there were a lot of children with Down syndrome in Hong Kong. So there, I mean, there were probably around 40 or so, at least, when I started looking. And I decided that that's what I was going to do. And I went to meet with my social worker, and she gave me some profiles, and I, all of the profiles had pictures with them. But one profile wouldn't open up, the picture wouldn't open up. And so I kept reading through the profiles, and I was like, I think the one that won't open up was the one, she was very sassy, and she wrote tantrums. And I was like, that sounds really feisty and fun. And I just fell in love with her profile. They're like, she does not like to share. I just fell in love with that profile, and I remember driving over to my friend's house and saying, "Will your computer work?" And we were able to open up the pictures, and I just saw her, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's the one. That's my daughter." So, so I adopted Yan, is her name, and I adopted her when she was not quite 4 years old from Hong Kong. And she, it was the start of a big journey. It was harder than I ever thought, and but better than I ever thought too. So,
and Yan today is how old?
Yan just turned 19, which is crazy,
isn't it?
It's so crazy. I still just think of her as such a little pumpkin, but she is just my joy. She has so much joy and love, and she struggles with so many things, but she's just a little warrior that she plows through them. So, and she was doing well over the years, but she kept saying she wanted a sister. She would say sister, baby all the time. And so during about the end of 2010, 2011, I decided to become a foster parent again and just see where it led. Mm-hmm. And I got my license, and I think the second week somebody called and they said, "Would you be interested in a baby?" And I'm like, I had never dreamed that I would get a baby as a placement. I mean, and I've never had a baby. So it was like they had a baby that had been born very early, a 26-weeker, and she was 1 pound 12 ounces, and she was on oxygen monitor still, and they said they didn't know when she would or if she would get off of them. She had been given a 20% chance to live, and she had had drug and alcohol exposure and a lot of things, but they said, you know, "Are you interested?" And I said yes, and so I had 2 days' notice to set up baby stuff.
That's pretty typical, yeah.
Yeah. She had been in the NICU for 4 months, and so they wanted her to leave the hospital now, but they needed somebody. So, I went to the hospital and met her, and I just knew from the moment I saw her that she would be there forever. So, my little Maddie. So, and she was able to get off oxygen within the first year. She has just thrived, and she still has her own challenges, but she's an amazing little girl. So,
And Yan got her sister.
Did. And now Maddie's asking for one, but. That's a story for another day.
Keep praying now. Yes.
I told my friends, I was like, "Well, if I adopt once every 10 years, I might be able to afford it."
Yes, exactly. I was telling Jennifer before, my parents that, well, now in their mid-70s, still have 4 kids at home. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's quite crazy.
Yeah. So.
They have helped.
It can keep me young, though, maybe. That's what I tell myself. Maybe it will keep me young.
Yeah, maybe.
Or older.
Older. Yes, exactly. Right. So what are maybe some of the best memories that you've created with your daughters? And what advice maybe do you have for other adoptive parents who are looking for ways to create closer relationships with their adoptive or foster kids through experiences?
Well, the big thing that I feel like I've learned through experiences is not to expect much, especially with our kiddos that are adopted or have special needs, especially sensory issues. Some of the things that you would think like would provide the best memories, like holidays, are so hard for them for different reasons.
Right. Yeah. And
I've just really worked on not expecting much of those times, and really trying to do even smaller things, things that are meaningful to our family, but are not probably what the typical family would like. We do a lot of book reading. My girls have a thing where they love to roast marshmallows over candles in the dark in the house.
My 22-year-old was doing that over Christmas, and I had to get a picture of it. I'm like, you are crazy.
We do it all the time. It's the best thing. They each have their own candle. We roast marshmallows. We turn the lights on. And it's much safer than around a bonfire.
Yes, exactly.
It works. But we've done just a lot of little things. My girls love to create, and so we do a lot of artistic things. Read aloud books. Those are some of the best things. The best times are those quiet moments when you can snuggle up together. We've had some things that I thought would be like the highlight of our lives. Like Yan adores Barney the dinosaur.
Yes.
He adores Barney still. And she got to go meet Barney for her Make-A-Wish trip. Big deal. But one time Barney came to town and my friend got us front row seats to it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is just going to be like the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And we got in there and she screamed bloody murder.
Oh, no.
Down, because it was such a large venue. It was so loud and so overwhelming.
Exactly.
And we couldn't even salvage it. And then for months afterwards, she asked if we were going back. And we lost our chance. Some of those big things that you just think are going to be great may trigger other problems. So I've just really tried to set my expectations aside and, try to be in the moment, do something quiet. Or just something that may not be as busy as everybody else.
I love that. The little things.
Yeah.
You know, we think of creating memories and quality time, but you flip it. It's quantity time. And it's those little things that you can do throughout that. And letting go of the expectations, because you never know.
You don't.
It's gonna trigger something,
either
with a memory or some sort of sensory or special need that they have, and that's in the environment that you're not used to. Because a lot of times those special memories are in places that aren't like home and aren't comfortable.
They're not. And a lot of them, I mean, if you're adopting a child, any age really, they can have trauma, from their past experiences, and you just don't know what is going to trigger that to come out. A lot of my friends, I mean, it's hard to handle birthdays. It's hard to handle anniversary type milestones. You know, those can trigger hard things for our kids. So it's really important, I think, just to kind of let go of those expectations and try to see where you can make some meaningful thing for them. But
it sounds like more often traditions like the roasting marshmallows and the candles that you can just find those little moments of joy and embrace them. Yes. I think that was one of the hard things I had when I was doing foster care. I was so consumed with all the care that I didn't stop enough sometimes to just find the joy in those little things mm-hmm. that celebrate. And,
yeah.
And that's so important. It's a flip on how we as a society look at how we seek joy, because we yeah. look for big things, these milestones that are going to push us over to these joyful places. And yeah. yet it's these tiny little stepping stones.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But so over the years, how have you learned to find ways to bring joy into your homeschooling, your family life, which we kind of talked about already, but also your work and your own personal life? I guess that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if I've mastered anything like personal life, but
just anything you have learned. You don't have to have mastered it. None of us have mastered anything.
Yeah, we really do just try to enjoy the little things. For our homeschool, I think just kind of slowing down. At first, I would try to
plan
so many things mm-hmm. that it just got overwhelming. So just slowing down. We've found so much joy in read-alouds, which I know some families do and other families prefer not to, but it's just like a bonding, connecting time, I feel like.
Yes, yeah.
You know, even if they don't understand everything you're reading, mm-hmm. It's just the connection there.
Right.
So I really enjoy that. We've been focused on trying to be thankful and finding the little things to be thankful about. Because especially in homeschool, sometimes certain people in my house like to complain about things. Okay, sometimes it's me, but
I think we all have to admit that.
Sometimes it's me, but I've had to stop myself, and instead we've been turning it around and asking a question, well, what can we be thankful for about this? So this last month we've all had the flu, and you know, I even tried to turn that around this week and say, what can we be thankful for that we all got to snuggle up on the couch for days? You know, sometimes it's easier than others, but yeah. And I always, like, there's so many things that happen. Sometimes it's just overwhelming with kiddos with special needs, especially. But I found myself, I can either laugh or cry. And I choose to laugh usually, because it's just a lot of the things are funny. It's not funny at that moment, but but you'll get there if you keep laughing.
So, I love that. Yes, you will get there.
And other times, you know, when there's just something really hard, I literally have to pray, Jesus, let me be your hands and your feet, and pretend like it's just him doing it and not me, because, you know, I'm tapped out. So,
right.
Yeah. But yeah, we really just trying to pick out the little things, the moments you're together. I think the best part of homeschooling is the time we get. I mean, it's amazing, you know, how much time I get to spend with my girls. You know, even if things are going wrong, it's just, I'll never regret that time spent with them.
Yeah. No, you won't. So, I look back and, you know, I've graduated too already. And
yeah,
it's the relationships that we mm-hmm. developed that was the most important thing we did.
Mm-hmm.
I know my middle son took off to go camping the last 2 days, and he's texting his mom pictures of his campfire and pictures of his campsite, and, you know, just to let me know he's okay and that he's, you know, he's gone for 2 days. He comes back tomorrow. But, you know, it's that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Another 20-year-old young man texts his mom what he's doing. Those homeschool relationships, they bond you in ways because you're together all the time, which I know so many parents fear. They're like, I can't spend that much time with my kids. But you learn to embrace it.
You do.
You know, just like you said, you find the thankful things. You press through the hard things.
Mm-hmm.
praying helps a lot.
It really does.
Yeah. And in the end, choose joy. I wrote that down. Yeah. But slowing down too. You know, we speed through, you said that earlier, we speed through so many things. We want our kids to be at this place. And I think a lot of times, and my parents wrote this in the article that it's coming out tomorrow on our website, is don't adopt a child and think that you're going to change them. Mm-hmm. They may never change. Yeah. It's, you just have to love them for who they are.
Mm-hmm. And it really ends up changing you. Like it may not, you know, it may not be them, but it shapes us. I'm just amazed by how much God has communicated to me through my girls, you know, mm-hmm. that they do things and it just shows me a better picture of him. So.
Yeah. It's, we get a much better perspective when, mm-hmm. when those things that the world calls good kind of fade away, because then we get a clearer picture of truth.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah. So we're friends on Facebook, and yeah. Jennifer and I have also worked together. She used to be a team member for Sped Homeschool. And so, so she has these great Facebook posts, like the Flupalooza of 2020 that just got over.
And it was a fun time.
You choose joy, and it is evident in your life. And I remember one time looking at one of your posts, and that's why I when I first came to Jennifer, I said creating joy of a happy home, because Barney is I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, and I knew that Yan loved Barney, and I said no, I have to choose the joy part instead of the happy one, because people may misconstrue that, but.
That's funny.
But I love how you can, you know, you choose to take the things that are beautiful in whatever's happening in life, and you magnify them so that they become the focus instead of, you know, sometimes I understand completely being just lost in the muck of everything that's going on, but choosing to go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And saying, this is the small piece that I can celebrate. Can you share with our viewers just maybe some advice on how to bring that change in just your thinking and your perspective?
I think the things that have helped me the most are just taking time to really have to ponder what is the good that's come out of things, you know, and, you know, trying to look for what God is trying to say in each situation. I mean, because there's so many things that just happen and, you know, it gets frustrating. But if you really look at it, I mean, God shapes and molds us through all of that. So it's just been a conscious effort on my part. I appreciate your kind words about it. But, you know, I just really look for the humor and the joy, because, it just makes things easier. I don't know.
It really does.
Yeah.
We focus too much on how can I fix this.
Yeah.
And that focus then focuses us on the negative, because all we're looking at is the thing that we want to change.
Yes.
And instead, taking the perspective like I've seen you take, you focus on the thing, the little bit that doesn't have to change.
Yeah.
And that allows things to change, though, because you're not holding on to all the other stuff. It can change the way it needs to change, not the way you want it to change.
Yeah. And fortunately in life, I've been given a lot of chances to let go of things. So it's, you know, it's a lot of practice we put in here. So trying to find
girls are learning from you, and you know, from every time you do that, they see that. And
yeah, I hope so. I don't know if I have any more advice though on that. It's just something you have to work at.
It's a journey. Because I remember thinking, you know, when I started homeschooling, you know, I am not a patient person. I actually had anger issues. And, you know, this is not a good thing for any of us. Why, God, do you want me to do this? And slowly, because I choose to be obedient and walk the path set before me, God did change that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my daughter even says, you used to be angry. I mean, she's much younger than her brothers. I'm like, oh yeah, ask them. But we can't set out saying, I am not this person, so therefore I can't, you know? And so that unfortunately is a lot of people's stopping block with foster care and adoption is, I can't do that. I know this wasn't in any of the questions I gave you, but do you have anything else to add to that?
I think, I just encourage people to look at it as the same way you kind of look at your relationship with God. And I mean, he does so many of the things that we have to do as parents, that unconditional love, and foster care and, you know, trying to make them feel safe and things that our Father just always does for us that we have to be able to show to them. So I think just really praying, you know, for God to change your heart to really love the way that he loves. I think there's no better vision than adoption as to show what the character of Christ is, because that's what he's done for each of us.
Right.
So,
we are unlovely. We are broken. We have so many issues that we bring from into that relationship, and we are loved for just us.
Yeah. I don't know if this goes with it. I remember in a book by Brennan Manning, he was talking about the book is Abba Father, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how sometimes we feel with God, like, I'm not as good with my prayer life, or I'll fall asleep as I'm praying. Will God still like that? And he had said, just imagine yourself with your little baby or your little grandchild coming up to you and running into your arms, but then getting distracted by something else and going away. You're not going to love them any less. You love that they keep running back to you, you know, that you're, and that's the way I feel like our Father, you know, wants us. So just modeling that love for our kiddos and praying that God will show us his relationship with us that way.
Yeah, we have so much to learn from parenting just in general, and foster care and adoption even more so. Because there is, you choose that bond.
Yeah.
And there's no relationship there. I did a video on my other YouTube channel just about one of the words in the Old Testament that loving kindness. I mean, I put it into Google and it didn't even recognize, not Google, but when I put the description in YouTube, and it's like, this isn't a word. But no, it is. What it means is that it's giving kindness towards someone like a relative, even though that relationship was not there, because you chose to make that relationship happen.
Yeah.
And that's truly what adoption is you choose that kindness. You choose to make a relationship. Mm-hmm. And to step over that boundary of you weren't mine, but now you are. Mm-hmm. And I will take that responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful thing. Yeah. So, the Barney story that was interesting. Do you have any, other than marshmallows, what are some other joyful memories that you have just of parenting with the girls?
Well, they love going to see things. We do have lots of zoo memories and things like that. They love that. They love for me to sit down and color with them for hours. That's like a preferred activity.
Yes.
But we get a lot of fine motor work in like a 3-hour period. So
definitely.
Yeah, they love to do things like color together and love to go out to eat ice cream. That's a big one. Chicken and fries, go to the park. We do a lot of park things, a lot of things to get out energy and and that aren't so sensory loaded sometimes. Like they just opened up a new ice skating rink here, and the girls want to try that. I don't know how loud it's going to be. Noise is sometimes just
when it echoes in those too. Yeah, if they have a time where it's like in the afternoon when school's in session or something, and it's
noisy. Yeah. They want to try that out next, so
can't wait to see pictures.
I'm wondering if I can just take pictures and not participate myself. I'm a little apprehensive. I don't need another broken bone. So. But yeah, that's some of their favorites. Our one of our big memories was the Make-A-Wish trip. That was an exciting thing. So we got to go to several parks and meet Mickey Mouse and Barney and the whole crew. So it was good.
It's nice when, you know, like those types of big trips, you know, taking a tangent here, but what kinds of things did you do to help Jan and Maddie just with things that you knew that you were gonna, that might be sensory-related, just to kind of make it the best experience you could? I mean, you're not gonna make it perfect.
We did a lot of talking about it ahead of time, and we were able to go on YouTube and get videos of even the rides at Disney World and things like that. So we watched them just so they would know. And we got a wheelchair for Jan, and Jan's usually very mobile, but and when you've walked that long,
that's
a stopping point. So we did that in a stroller for Maddie. We would stop and get her cups of ice throughout the parks, headphones, anything like that. We use headphones. I now keep a pair of headphones for both girls in the car because we've just been so many places that we ended up needing them. And it really, it helps a lot. I tend to make a lot of accommodations in the house, like if weighted blankets, certain texture.
A lot of the things you mentioned is just preparation ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to think about those things. And I think oftentimes we tend to do too much spur of the moment. And I found, especially with when I had foster kids, that spur of the moment was not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it can go either way with especially with our kiddos with adoption. Like I have some families, friends that, they have to wait until the day before their birthday to tell them it's their birthday because of the dread and the anticipation and the anxiety that builds up. So it can go either way. And then for some of our kiddos, they need to know. So they have, to be able to plan and get ready. So you really have to know your child and find out what they need, because you could have to go either direction.
Right. Yeah. And that's so true. Because there are like kids that have autism and then other things that love to know way ahead of time and to have that time, and then do the, like you said, watch the videos, and have those social stories and be able to put themselves in those situations, because shocking experiences are not handled well. So that is so true. But so you're on to a phase. I didn't even tell you. I didn't even think about asking this question until now. You're on a phase where you have an adult now that is dependent on you. How has that been?
I still can't believe that. But it's new, and I'm still just trying to figure it all out. Mm-hmm. My daughter looks so young, so she still blends in like
right.
a kid, things like that. But I can tell that her independence is really, she's starting to assert it more and more. I'm like, ooh, I've got to really think about how I handle some things and do that. But yeah, just trying to give her as much independence as I can without, her being in a situation she can't handle. So
right. Yeah.
It's going to be new territory for us. Mm-hmm. Right now we're holding off on things like work and things like that because I just held her back in homeschool so that we could have extra time right. to work yeah. on skills. So
mm-hmm. That's just wise. Yeah. And if a child, I always ask parents, why are you continuing homeschooling? Because, a lot of times that's your motive of life at home when you've mm-hmm. homeschooled for so long. This is normal. This is what yeah. we do. Uh-huh. And so it feels comfortable. And if your child is like, yeah, this is life, this is what we do. And so keep doing it. That means you can homeschool as long as your child is willing.
I know. I'm like, maybe I can get Yan to keep doing it until she's 30 when Maddie's ready to
You never know.
You never yeah. know what's going to happen. So, yeah. but so many of the things we work on are, life skills anyways. And it takes a while. She loves to learn. So I don't see her wanting to stop that anytime soon. Right. She enjoys it too. So. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the life skills you've been working on and how have they been going?
Just like cooking is a big one for us right now. Just for her to be able to even heat stuff up like in the microwave,
right.
Learning to set it for 1 minute and 20 seconds instead of 12 minutes for noodles.
Yes.
Little things like this.
Right.
So working on that, she does amazingly well with chores around the house that she thrives. So she does all our trash, our laundry. She puts all the dishes away. She's wow. just a big helper. And she adores it when she's busy. She will often get on my case because I haven't done laundry for her to hold. So I didn't want to do laundry today, but, she's just funny about that. And trying even times like just like one day I needed to deliver a package to Staples to go to UPS. And mm-hmm. I was like, I've not had her do something where she goes alone. And so where it was a place I could pull up right next to the store and I asked her to take the package into them. Mm-hmm. And she just came out with the biggest smile on her face and was caring for herself. Like that was such a big deal to her that she got to take it into the store by herself and come mm-hmm. out, And so any little things like that, that I can find to just give her confidence, to do something, I try to do so. But it's a work in progress because you just can't get too much sometimes, but, just trying to find our way.
Yeah. Oh, Misty is watching and she said that she can do some of my laundry.
I know.
She has a lot of kids at her house. I'm sure you have more laundry than your washing machine one can handle. You probably need two. Oh, too funny.
Yeah. One of my friends, her son has autism and he is obsessed with doing laundry, but he likes to do the washing and drying part. And so we've joked around that Yan could do the folding part and we could have.
You can start your own laundry mat.
I mean, wouldn't that be fun? Right.
Oh. Well, yep, it's good to find their passions, and yes, at some point you just never know where it's going to lead them. And yeah, but yeah, it having a child that enjoys work is a joy.
It is, yeah. Because my other one doesn't, I'll be honest.
Well, she's still young.
Yes. I'm hoping it gets better. The other thing is once I give Yan a job, she considers it her job forever. And she doesn't give any of them up to Maddie. So I'm like, but I need some easy jobs for Maddie.
Right, exactly.
So she gets upset if somebody tries to take her job. So.
So you need to create new jobs, or yeah, or have put Yan in charge of training Maddie. And
I don't know how that would go.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not I have visions of my children doing that, and that would not end well when they were younger.
Well, no, but supervising. She got banned from all kitchen duties because she found the spray hose and decided to give us all a shower one day.
Oh, wow.
So, I keep her out of there.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. The learning curve with, new responsibilities and yet many new adventures that come with that.
That's right.
Let's see. I've got some things written down here still that I definitely want to get to before our time. And yeah. So we talked about some of the hard times, that you've been through, and, as being a single parent, it's gotta be really difficult sometimes. And, just what, when you hit those hard points, we talked about finding those beautiful places and praying, do you ever have any conversations with yourself? And, how do you process those things? Do you have friends that you lean on?
Yeah.
What are your go-tos for getting through those things?
I think one thing that has really helped for a while, we didn't have it, but we've found a great church that has a special needs program, and they especially reach out like once a month now. They have a coffee for the parents during the Sunday school class that we can just sit and talk. But finding a good group of friends, especially other friends that have adopted and friends with special kids with special needs, it's just they understand me more than anybody else. It's
you only have to start the conversation and they're like, oh yeah.
We can talk for hours without trying. And I think that's really important, because so many parents of kiddos that have come from trauma backgrounds or special needs, they're so isolated because people don't understand. And I think it's important that we really have to reach out to other people. We went through a really tough, hard time a long time ago. Yan and I were in our house, and our house was flooded and ruined during the Nashville floods. And I was thinking about that, preparing, and that's just learning to lean on other people and ask for help is a really hard thing if you're not used to it. But it's just so important that we can reach out and, during tough times, you have to ask a lot more for help. God provides it. He provided it through a lot of people. So just reaching out to people. I will say, my personal life, I don't get to go do things all the time with, people, but I still have that connection that I can jump on the computer and talk to a friend or, call, things like that. Just that really keeps me going, I feel like, having other moms that understand.
Yeah, I'm reading a book right now. It's talking about vulnerability and just how we, in order to support others, we have to realize the vulnerability of others and ourselves, but we also need to admit that there's no perfect, you know, behind everybody. There's yeah. issues and there's things that we deal with and we need help. We can, none of us can do
yeah.
life alone. And so, yeah, you do have to have that support network and it is, and it seems crazy to people that don't have children with these trauma issues or special needs to say, well, any friend is fine. But when you, I know I got a friend of mine hooked me up with another foster mom, adoptive mom, who was, because I had done foster care for three of my siblings, and they had actually lived in a meth house for multiple years before the county pulled them out. Yeah. And the trauma these kids had caused great havoc in our house. And mm-hmm. she was going through things that were very similar. And mm-hmm. When I got on the phone with her, she goes, "You are the first person who hasn't told me I'm crazy."
Mm.
And yeah. Because I know what it's like to live in your house. I've mm-hmm. been there. yeah. And yet it does, it seems insane sometimes the mm-hmm. things that happen because of those trauma incidents that these kids have been through. And it's hard, but there are other people that are going yeah. through that same walk, and to be able to connect with them. And that's why we have this community, you know,
yeah.
this bed homeschool. We homeschool kids with special needs. That means we're home all day. Yeah. Yes, with our kids who struggle.
Yeah, and it can be isolating. So that's one thing. As much as I get upset with technology, I'm also grateful for it too, because it's connected me with people who understand, right. You know, that can help you out on the journey. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to make a plug here, because we just launched our Sped Strong Tribes last week on a brand new app called The Jump. And you can look on our website at spedhomeschool.com, but it's under Support Tribes. Actually, on the front page now, there's a thing that swoops in, and right there, you'll find the link to find your regional group. And we are separated by regions, because we want you to start sharing local resources with each other and getting to know one another. Like, you may find somebody who lives near you that you can actually get together and have coffee with.
Yeah.
So creating community has been on my heart from the very beginning of starting this organization, because it is isolating.
Yeah.
And I remember those years of feeling very isolated. Mm-hmm. And saying, does anybody understand me? Walking through homeschool conferences, you know, and the topics not even pertaining to anything, and me going home crying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're making awareness.
Definitely. That's good.
So, yes. Change is happening. So, what are some ways that your girls have brought joy into your life?
Oh my goodness. They are just the best. they are just so good. Yan, literally, I mean, the joy that she gets from anything. The other day, we don't order pizza very often because it's expensive and I can heat up a frozen pizza. But Yan adores the breadsticks or the bread bites or whatever that come with the pizza. And the other day I ordered some, and she literally was jumping up and down, clapping her hands, screaming that she had got bread. But it amazes me, because she's just so happy about the little things, like that other people wouldn't even really notice,
right.
And she just always makes me smile with that. And Maddie is Miss Inquisitive, and she loves to learn things. But she also, like, when we're going to the grocery store or anything, she's the one that says, "Stop and smell the flowers." We have to stop. She's just so good at finding things that she loves and being passionate about them. And they're just they're both amazing that way. And they just bring so much light and help make me grateful, I think, you know, because they're just so, so happy about things.
That's really neat. Yeah. It, when you take time to see life through their eyes.
Yeah.
And just the little things that they notice that you're doing, stopping, you know, celebrating with breadsticks.
Who knew?
Yeah, things, it just seems so simple to us, but yet, from their perspective, it's the world. And why not stop and smell flowers?
Yeah.
Enjoy a few breadsticks.
You know, that's also the benefit of homeschooling, too, is just having time to do all those little things, you know, along the way. Right. Spending just that extra time. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just watch people who have kids in school and think, man, your life is crazy. You know, you think my life's crazy when I'm homeschooling kids, you know, when I was homeschooling all three of mine at the same time and had three foster kids and my exchange student and we had a crazy house, but yet I was in control.
Yeah.
So there were other people telling me when I had to be in this place or in this place. And, and we forget that. And I can stop, like you said, we can, I can make the decision to stop.
Yeah.
And I can make the decision to take a tangent or to sit down and read a book.
Yeah.
And make those memories when those opportunities are good. And I, you know, that brings up a whole nother thing. You know, when you've got medical things going on and other things happening, like when you guys were sick, you could just take that time. And you know, what your girls will probably remember of that is you snuggling on the couch when, you know, they, you know, you get a little further removed from everything else that was involved.
Hopefully, I told you earlier, but I'll tell them, I was asking Maddie what things she liked about our homeschool. Uh-huh. Maddie said, oh, I love it when we watch TV. That's not the answer I wanted. Right. I wanted one of those gentle, soft moments, but were the times we watched TV.
Well, it's probably a big thing in your house to, you know, to have the TV on, and so it's a reward. I know my kids always loved it when they could build forts because we were doing some historical reenactment of something and the fort was supposed to be this or that. And I let it stay up for a couple of days. We did our read alouds in it and they even slept in it sometimes.
I love it. They, I'm amazed what a box will do for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Boxes and I mean, they can play for hours. It's a great thing.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, just and yeah, so Jennifer has some articles on the Sped Homeschool website. If you search Jennifer Colmore on there, you will find you have some really good articles like homeschooling outside the box and sensory, how to handle sensory things at Christmas time, and just so much good insight. And but Jennifer also has her own Teachers Pay Teachers site, which I want you to talk a little bit about. And I'm going to put up the link here. It's the Therapy Mama. If you search on Teachers Pay Teachers, you will find the Therapy Mama. And that is Jennifer.
I just started putting up, I find myself making a lot of things, especially for Yan, that she needs a lot of, like papers without that aren't too busy. Right. You know, sometimes she needs things really plain in order to process them. And I really fell in love with starting to make my own teachers and speech language pathology products. It's just a fun, creative outlet for me kind of to get to do things still in my skill set and that I can use for the kids too. So,
you have a lot of like themes for holidays and other things on there. So just some great resources.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So hopefully it will continue to grow. So, Yeah. But it's a fun little venture.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it's good that, you know, you're creating things that are necessary in your homeschool and then sharing with others, which, you know, that it just blesses more than one.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. I greatly appreciate this. Is there anything else you want to share before we kind of wrap up? Just encouragement for families.
Just keep pressing on. keep on swimming, as Dory says.
Yes.
That's the best thing I know to do. And and just don't be afraid to reach out to others, because it's not something you can do all alone. So, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to other mamas or people, resources that can help you, any professionals that you need. You know, there's so many things out there that we just have to ask for help sometimes. So,
right. Yeah. And I think the more you ask one person, they're going to lead you to other resources that they've found. And it's just going to open, it just opens new doors for you and gives you what you need. Because, yeah, you can't do it alone when, you know, it's the mentality of homeschooling alone. You know, that was kind of the pioneer movement of we're going to do it all by ourselves. And now, you know, I think we're kind of crashing the system as we, you know, bring special needs families in. And I was even talking with Steve Demme from Matthew C. And well, he's my board chair now for SPED Homeschool. But when we were chatting, he said, one of the new talks I'm giving next conference season is how to build your team, because you cannot teach alone. And it's almost a countercultural thing for the homeschool community of what we're telling parents is that you can't be a lone ranger. I don't care who has told you this is going to work, because you're going to drive yourself into the ground and you're going to send all your kids back to school, which is not what you want to do.
We added in a little homeschool type co-op this year for ours. And it has been amazing how much it's just brought like a freshness and newness to our homeschool. Mm-hmm. Like it, just that the social connections and giving the girls time to be with kids every week. You know, it's really helped us. It's gone a lot better than I thought it would. So I've been pleasantly surprised.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to try it.
Yeah.
And and we tried co-ops. We tried, you know, just meeting with a couple families and hiring our own teachers. And, you know, there's so many different ways. There's no one way that just it's going to work. So try it out. Like Jennifer said, just see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, we had no guest appearance from Yan tonight.
Oh, no. I can't believe they stayed in their rooms. I'm really surprised. So, I thought I was going to have to apologize 1,000 times.
So, we have
the power of electronics, people.
Yeah, so we have a comment from Misty. She said, thank you for speaking, being a foster adoptive homeschool mom. A lot of littles with a lot of special needs. I know I need to know that I'm not alone.
Wow, that's good. You are not alone. That is great.
Yes, and we have 3 more guests the next 3 weeks who are going to tell you you're not alone as well.
Good.
Really cool. And so next week, we have Cindy LaJoy. She started Blue Collar Homeschool recently, and it has just taken off about, you know, not sending your kids to college. What about the other avenue of blue collar jobs? And she just started for her adoptive kids a business.
Oh, wow.
And so they started a pizza joint. So we're going to hear about that. We're going to hear about their adoptive family life. We're going to hear about blue collar homeschool. And our topic is creating positive learning environments from challenging situations. And I know she knows a lot about that. So that's going to be our topic next week. But
that sounds good.
Yes, it definitely does sound good. So, well, thank you so much, Jennifer. I enjoyed our conversation.
This was awesome. So fun. Thank you.
Yes.
for having me.
You are welcome. I haven't seen your face in a long time. Well, I'm seeing your pictures on YouTube. That's my video. So, <that's> my so, and thank you all for joining us here on Spend Homeschool Conversations. We will be back again next Tuesday night. But like I said, join us on your regional jump group because we're having a lot of fun there too and having conversations on a regular basis. We're getting people used to the new app. So we're doing some fun sharing types of things and getting to know one another. So join your group and you can find that on our website at spedhomeschool.com and definitely check out Jennifer's resources at Teachers Pay Teachers, the Therapy Mama. So until next week, bye everybody.
Bye.